Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Please find a Bible and leave it open, if you will, to the book of Hebrews and the 11th chapter. We're going to talk about growing today. Some kinds of growing are among the easiest things we do. It's easy to grow heavy. It's easy to grow gray. It's easy to grow old.
No, it's not.
Just keep breathing. But some kinds of growing are among the very hardest things we do. To grow from being thing-centered to being God-centered. From being self-centered to being love-centered. So difficult that we have a tendency as human beings to find socially acceptable ways of denying the fact that we have remained so selfish throughout our lives. We say nice things to each other and nasty things behind our backs. We seethe on the inside and smile on the outside. All the while hoping to hide the fact that we still have not grown away from our self-centered, natural, born nature. In London, there's a great cathedral called Westminster Abbey. It's a place where Princess Diane had the funeral. It's where England buries her most honored dead. And as you walk through the cathedral and its alcoves, you see behind the walls and beneath the floor the graves of England's honored dead. Now, what kinds of people do you suppose England honors most? Kings, scholars, soldiers, statesmen, those whom England honors most. As I one day walked through Westminster Abbey, I suddenly looked down and I read the name of my boyhood hero. I was standing over the grave of David Livingstone. Those whom England honors most. I want to suggest this morning that God also has a Westminster Abbey. He has a place where he has buried those whom God honors most. We've learned what kinds of people England honors most. This morning we're going to look at the kinds of people that God honors most. Those who are in God's Westminster Abbey. What kind of people will we find there? Hebrews, the 11th chapter, notice verse 4. We find Abel. That's good. God honors martyrs. Buried in God's Westminster Abbey. That one chapter of Scripture that brings together God's honored dead. Verse 5 is Enoch. God honors those who walk with him. We say, that's good. Verse 7 is Noah, that great preacher of faith who preached for 120 years and still kept on preaching when there were no converts, saved only his family and the ark. Wait a minute. When the flood was over, Noah got drunk. You mean that God honors preachers who occasionally get drunk? Do not try that, Dan.
Not a chance.
God would honor such a man, but that's nothing compared with verse 31. There is prostitute Rahab, one whom God honors most. God honors women who sell their bodies Now, there's something puzzling here. Let's look a little closer at three of the special heroes in God's Westminster Abbey. Verse 8 introduces Abraham, an 8-foot inscription over his tomb. 8 verses in Hebrews 11 about this famous father, Abraham. Abraham was a liar. Repeatedly he lied, not just on occasion. Genesis 20 says he lied every place he went. He said, Sarah is my sister. She was so beautiful. And the kings and the Pharaoh, they wanted to take Sarah into the court. And it was a clever lie because brothers got gifts. Husbands got killed. One whom God honors most spent his life, at least some of it, as a liar. And then how about Moses? 7-foot inscription over Moses' tomb in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. 7 verses having to do with Moses. In his younger years, Moses was an egotistical hothead. He was a murderer. In modern parlance, we'd say he killed a cop. One whom God honors most. But the greatest enigma of all is probably David in verse 32. Man after God's own heart was both an adulterer and a murderer. It all started, you know, with David up there on the palace roof as a peeping Tom, watching his neighbor's wife take a bath. Brought her to the palace. She became pregnant, and he called her husband in and saw to it that he was killed. I've known of leaders who make mistakes, but nothing bigger than David. He did all of this, by the way, while he was the president of the General Conference. That is, he was the leader of the nation. God's special people, a murderer, an adulterer. Now, whatever is the lesson in all of this? Something puzzling going on. Is it God is not particular? Anything goes with God? Verses 33 and 34. We find our answer. Who through faith, here's some of the great things these people did, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword. Now here's our phrase. Whose weakness was turned to strength. King James Version says, out of weakness were made strong. Amen. Now we understand the kinds of people that God honors most. Those who's out of their weakness were made strong. So our lesson this morning with God, it's not what you've been, it's what you're becoming that counts. God doesn't look, young people, at your past. He looks to your future. Not where you have been, but where you are going. God honors overcomers. I'd like us now to turn, if you will, over to the early chapters of Revelation, and we're going to look at that word overcoming. Notice in Revelation, the 3rd chapter and the 21st verse, 3 and verse 21, God is talking about being overcomers. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. God honors overcomers. Let's look at our three heroes now later on in life. David. When Nathan the prophet came in and said, "You are the man," David was convicted of his sinfulness. He repented. He sat down and wrote Psalm 51, "Purge me with hyssop, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit within me." Shame on David. He was an awfully big sinner, but he was a bigger repenter. And he was one of the biggest of overcomers. You see, those of us who sin timidly tend to repent half-heartedly. There's a danger of being a respectable Adventist Christian. We're not sure that there's too much of which we need to repent, and it's probably that attitude of which we most need to repent. David was a sinner, but David knew it, and David was a greater repenter. You see, it's not small sinners, but big overcomers that become people after God's own heart. Moses, his problem was his pride and his temper. His life ends, Numbers 12 says he became what? The meekest man on the face of the earth. He overcame. Abraham, Genesis 17 says he and God were still working on Abraham's growth at 99 years of age. As we get older, the concrete tends to set, and we don't find growth too easy. We've established our lifetime habits. I think I have lived enough years and lost enough hair and grown enough gray that I have a right to speak to those of the rest of you who are suffering from a bit of Methuselahitis. By the way, they have discovered, you know, what causes gray hair. The longer you live, the deeper the roots. When they get down to the gray matter, the hair comes gray. Except if they get down there and don't find anything, they just give up and fall out. Seriously, I want to speak to those of us with gray hair or no hair. Never credit yourself with overcoming sins that you've grown too old to enjoy. Sanctification by senility. We drop off sin after sin as we lose the energy to commit them. Forgive us, young people. We call that growth. Sometimes it seems we're still as self-centered and as unloving as we've ever been. What do you say, you wise old heads? Let's take a page from Abraham's book at 99, still growing with God. Heaven is for overcomers. Notice in Revelation, the second chapter and the seventh verse, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." Revelation, the third chapter and the fifth verse. "He who overcomes will like them be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels." And my favorite is Revelation 3 and verse 12. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. I will make a pillar. A pillar is a thing that holds a building up. We use trusses nowadays. Pillars hold up buildings. You understand what this is saying? It is the fact that there are overcomers that defends, that holds up the kingdom of God. Boys and girls, it boggles my mind, but they claim that there are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand in all of this world. And as you sit playing your fingers through the sand, remember how big, how powerful God is. There are more stars out there, not only created but maintained. More stars than there are grains of sand in all of this world. What a big God we have. And we look to his creation as proof of his omnipotence, of his bigness, of his power. But that's not what John the Revelator said. It says that the greatest proof of God's power is making sinners fit for heaven. Overcomers. If God took only the good people to heaven, the angels would yawn. Totally unimpressed. Great sinners who have become greater overcomers are the greatest proof of the power of Christ. And when they get Floyd Brzee over there, the whole universe is going to know there is power in the blood. Amen. Well, if it's so important to be an overcomer, so important to God, it holds up the kingdom of God to see the change that God is able to make in human nature. If it is so important, then how can it happen to me? Three steps. How to be an overcomer. First of all, see your sins in the light of the cross, not natural. We tend always to see our sins in light of the sins of others. We see our sins by comparison. Church does this. Let's say, speaking of moral issue, let's say that the moral standards of the world are right about this level here. Well, the standards of the church are invariably a little higher than the standards of the world, and we're very pleased and proud of that. I'm sure God is happy with that. Our standards are always a little higher from the standards of the world. But then the standards of the world lower. And what happens to the church when the standards of the world go lower? Are you watching? Here are the standards of the world. Here's the standards of the church, all always higher. But as the standards of the world lower, eventually the standards of the church are lower than the former standards of the world. The worst condemnation of Christianity is that our standards come more from the world around us than from the word that God has given us. And why? Because we spend so much more of our time and attention with the world than we do with our Lord. Does sin stuff your pillow with thorns? Or has this permissive society in which we live today convinced you that sin is just not very serious anymore? Shall I crucify my Savior when for me he bore such pain? Once I crucified him, Shall I crucify again? There is nothing that will make sin so undesirable and so distasteful as seeing sin in the light of the cross. Number two, you want to be an overcomer? Rely on Christ's power. Philippians 4:13, my favorite text. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can't do it alone, but I can do it through Christ. Rely on Christ's power. And third, feed your spiritual nature. You cannot survive on one meal a week. Makes no difference how nutritious it might be. One reason we criticize our pastors and our preachers is because they don't give us enough food to last a week. We need a balanced diet every day. Not just love, but also obedience. Not just obedience, but always love. We need a balanced diet, and we need it every day. Feed your spiritual nature. So my question this morning, are you and I really growing up, or are we just growing old? Growing old comes naturally. Growing up comes supernaturally through Christ. But with God, it's not what you've been. It's what you're becoming that counts. Please don't worry about what you have been. Please don't be satisfied with what you are. The people whom God honors most are the people who struggle with sin all of their lives. They struggled until, with God's help, they overcame. Boys and girls, parable. Two dogs. One dog named Nice. One dog named Nasty. Two dogs are neighbors. The two dogs are not good neighbors. They don't like each other one little bit. But there's a fence in between. And Nice is on this side. And Nasty is on this side. And every once in a while, they will come up to the fence and they will growl at one another. One day, one of them digs under the fence. And Nice and Nasty come together. And they go at it tooth and nail. And they are evenly matched. Neither can win over the other. Sometimes Nice is on top and Nasty is on the bottom. And sometimes Nasty is on top and Nice is on the bottom. Neither one can win. And their owners come and they separate the dogs and they plug up the fence. And then Nice's family goes on vacation. And the boy whom they have asked to feed Nice forgets. And for 2 weeks, Nice gets nothing but water. Next door, Nasty is getting Gaines burgers twice a day. At the end of the 2 weeks, one of them digs under the fence. It must be Nasty because Nice can hardly stand up, much less dig, and the two dogs come together again, and they don't like each other one bit more than they did before, and so they fight again. Which dog will win? The dog you feed is the dog that wins. And too many of us as Christians are spending our time feeding Nasty and praying just before we go to bed that Nice will win. Brothers and sisters, that doesn't work. Let us each find some way on a regular basis to feed Nice. And of course, we're talking Pauline theology. We're talking about the spiritual nature. and the carnal nature. And those two natures will never, ever learn to love each other. And those two natures will never be apart from you. This battle is not in somebody's backyard. It's in your heart and mind. It is a perpetual lifetime battle. You will always fight those two until the Lord comes. Which one will win? Let us determine before we close our worship this morning. Let's feed nice. Because the dog you feed is the dog that wins. Father in heaven, I pray for each worshiper here this morning. I pray that we will each of us make a new determination, a new beginning with Jesus to rely on his power, to focus our lives on the cross, and to find some practical way that fits us to feed our spiritual natures every day. Keep us growing. Make us overcomers. Through Christ, we pray. Amen.